Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Ed. Thank you for listening. If you want to send us an email, go to comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. Steve Jordahl joins us now. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Doing good. What's the president's schedule today? Do you know?
I don't have the schedule in front of me, but if it follows what he's been doing the last couple of weeks, he's got seven different audiences he's going to talk to, rallies, I'm sure, somewhere in eight states.
Today?
Yes.
Well,
before noon.
To use a sports analogy, President Trump is leaving it all on the field.
But yes. No kidding.
You can't blame the guy. The guy's not going to be outworked.
Right.
If he doesn't win, it won't be because he didn't try.
Right.
To get out there and campaign across the country. Joe Biden's doing the 10th or 20th of campaigning that President Trump has done. I don't think – well, former Vice President Biden doesn't have the stamina or energy.
Right.
I don't think to do that kind of – who does? I wouldn't.
Right.
To keep up that kind of pace. Now, I got to tell you, you could get used to flying on Air Force One.
Maybe if you're going to fly
maybe
somewhere.
That reduces the stress level for the president. You know, that's a pretty nice deal there. And to have Secret Service and, you know, Big Macs brought to your plane and they're not messed up.
Right. You
have the ketchup and the everything on it. You know what I'm saying? They don't mess up the president's Big Mac. But also, Biden is – thinking that I guess they're thinking they got to get him ready for the debate.
Yes.
And so he needs to get his proper rest and be ready for it.
Right.
So.
And he was for the first debate. I thought Vice President Biden looked, I don't know if I'd say rested, but he didn't stumble and fumble like I thought he might.
No.
He seemed to have his thoughts collected.
Now, for people in his what we think is his condition, by condition I mean, you know, he can have moments where his brain freezes,
right,
or he doesn't speak well. We've all seen that, or he forgets where he is or who he's talking to. He can have good days and bad days,
right?
All right, so I guess his staff is just hoping. And even though most of them are atheists, praying that he doesn't have a bad day or a bad night in that regard.
Right.
And if you're President Trump, Steve, I think somebody's going to have to do an intervention on him.
Well,
they go into the debate.
I just thought that I was joking about his schedule. He actually has two rallies today in Arizona, one in Prescott and one in Tucson. An intervention on him before he gets to the debate is to make sure he doesn't interrupt, you mean? To just kind of
Yes. I mentioned this last hour. President Trump, it's going to be hard for him because, as Ed said, he's in campaign mode, man. He's out there doing these rallies. I mean, when he goes to these rallies, it's Sleepy Joe and it's, crime family and all this stuff.
Right.
Okay.
I think
you can't do that Thursday night. I'm just telling you, you got to be presidential.
I think if Donald Trump is more the town hall Donald Trump than he was the first debate Donald Trump, I think he's going to do just fine.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And he can still be hard hitting.
Yeah.
Yes.
But he has to look like he's got his thoughts collected.
Yes.
When he's hard hitting, it needs to be in the middle of a disciplined response. And then he also, I keep stressing this, he needs to go on the attack, but it needs to be about the subject that is being discussed at the time.
Look, I think a good strategy for him, if he were asking me, on Thursday night, ideologically, it's going to be 2-on-1, as it has been all along. It's 100-on-1 right now,
right,
against the president, as far as the media and the social media and everybody else. Now, I don't know who this moderator, I'm not familiar with her, but her
Kristen Welker.
But she's got Democrat roots.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, her parents.
But if I were coaching President Trump, I would say, look, here's what you need to do. Every time they interrupt you, first of all, you don't interrupt.
Right.
Secondly, every time they interrupt you, be it Biden or the moderator, stop talking. Because that accentuates how many times they interrupt you.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? And I think a lot of people will say, you know, you're being unfair
right.
to President Trump. And that may cause him to win another 1% of the vote if he lets them talk and lets them. And with Joe Biden, you don't know. He can hang himself around every corner.
Right.
With his, you know.
His gaffes. And
police need to be trained to shoot him in the leg.
Yeah.
Let him say stuff like that. And don't save him by you interrupting him.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Even though I know as a human, it's hard to resist injecting and interrupting when you feel like you're being maligned or mischaracterized or lied about or somebody's not owning up or telling the truth.
Yeah, in fact, I like your idea about him stop talking. If he's interrupted by the moderator, Kristen Welker, he's interrupted. I think he should say, Kristen, I'm not going to debate you. I'm here to debate the vice president, and you're using up all my time, so I want the rest of my time.
Bingo.
Because you keep interrupting me, and then you don't let me speak. So that if he does that two or three times, then people begin to pick up on the fact she's interrupting him again. She's interrupting him again. So he has to be, to your point, Tim, he has to be more presidential, he has to be more disciplined, and he needs to have his arguments memorized so he can spit those out, and then he can do some freewheeling.
Let me ask you, Steve, do you think the president should bring, if the moderator doesn't bring up Hunter Biden ties to foreign governments and companies while his dad was VP with financial rewards for him and I guess his family, according to these emails. If the moderator doesn't bring that up, should President Trump bring that up, Steve?
Oh, absolutely.
How would you do that?
Well, when you're talking about, at some point they might ask some kind of question about Biden, he might say something about his experience as vice president. And at that point, if I was President Trump, say, yeah, we know you have experience as vice president. Some of that experience is massaging foreign leaders that your son brought to you. And then there you go. Then you're there.
I would also have a page at his campaign website. So because Joe Biden and Kristen Welker are not going to let him do a full-fledged explanation of the accusations against the vice president. But I like your idea, Steve, of saying, I know you've got that too. And because the mainstream media, including NBC, refuses to cover the New York Post blockbuster story about Joe Biden, we've set up at our website all the information that is currently available. You can't get to it through Facebook and Twitter because they're covering for this man. You want to find the right story, go to my website and you can read there because he's not going to be allowed to say very
much. No, he will
be
interrupted three times by the moderator on that because she is not going to let him say that because she'll get crushed by the liberals at NBC News and her colleagues. And there'll be no invitations to quote holiday parties.
She will do what happened even with Chris Wallace, what he did. And what happened at the town hall last week, she's going to say, Mr. President, you're not sticking to the subject.
You know what would be hilarious, I think? Joe, if I were President Trump, I would interrupt at some point in the debate. I would make an intentional interruption where everybody looks frustrated at you and then you say, no. I'm going to interrupt here because I want to say this. I condemn white supremacy.
Yeah. Yes.
Now back to you, Joe. Huh?
You know, that would be pretty funny if he said that three or four times on the program. I just want to take this opportunity first.
Yes.
Thank you for your question about climate change. I want to start off by condemning white supremacy so that nobody
make a mockery of it
ever question me again. Okay. The same thing with the Green New Deal. Same thing with the economy. Same thing with COVID. I want to start off by condemning white supremacy.
Yes.
Okay. And I think all these groups are blah, you know, blank.
Yeah, yeah. And let me just furthermore tell you that the KKK out there, as long as I'm president, they're not going to get over 10 members.
Yes.
Huh? Right now they're at 9. How do you know that, sir?
Yeah.
I have people who keep up with that.
Yeah. I think that would be a great idea. I just want to condemn.
I would condemn white supremacy on the hour, every hour.
So the Kristen Welker finally says, all right, Mr. President, we get it. Right. Do you really, Kristen?
Right.
Do you really? Because I'll be asked about this tomorrow from one of your other NBC compatriots.
Here's a question I have for you about the debate. Do you think he should use a little bit of humor? If you've been to his rallies, he can be really, really funny. And it isn't always the biting humor that takes somebody down. Listen to him. This is in North Carolina. He was talking, and something along these lines at a debate, I think, would go a long way. Listen to Cut 4. This was him in North Carolina.
Masks, no masks, everything. You can do all you want. But, you know, you still need help from the boss. We need help from the boss. That's what happened. We need help. Somebody said to me the other day, you're the most famous person in the world by far. I said, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. They said, who's more famous? I said, Jesus Christ.
What is he talking about?
He's talking about you need God's help to get over the virus. It's not, you know, he was in North Carolina as Dr. Robert Jefferson.
The boss. Is he calling God the boss?
Yes,
as he was.
As
that's kind of cringeworthy right there.
It seemed like pandering to me.
Well, as Dr. Robert Jefferson, who I talked to after the event, he says, yeah, he knows his audience, North Carolina.
Yeah, I wish I could do his voice. My son does a pretty good job. I wish I could do his voice and say, I love the evangelicals. They love me, you know.
Sometimes he talks about us, and don't get me wrong, he has been the best friend of evangelical Christians that we've ever had in the White House.
Right.
With the possible exception of Ronald Reagan. But the way he talks, has talked about evangelicals, is like, it's like you're walking through the zoo and there's Monkey Island over there. And you go, hey, look at those beautiful monkeys over there. Yep. Watch those monkeys. It's like President Trump's going, look at the evangelicals.
Yep.
I love the evangelicals.
And they love me.
And they love me. So, I don't know.
Folks, we're not being critical.
No, we're not being
critical. Yeah, just the political reality, I think.
Maybe that's his New Yorker way of a guy who's not been raised with. President Trump has not been raised with Bible teaching.
Right.
Okay. So
he doesn't know you don't call God Almighty.
It's like when he said
boss.
2 Corinthians.
Yeah, or the man upstairs.
he doesn't know any better.
Right.
And he doesn't mean any. So I would say a guy like that doesn't mean any disrespect.
Right.
Because he's just.
Probably just the opposite. That's his way of trying to show respect.
Yeah.
He went to an evangelical service on Sunday in
Nevada. So I don't mean. Yeah. So, I mean, he's been a great friend. He has a lot of Christians that surround him.
Yes.
He doesn't strike me as a guy that's doing an hour of Bible study every morning before he gets started.
I would agree.
Go ahead.
I know you guys talked a little bit about Facebook and the censorship issue with regard to the Joe Biden thing, but Facebook is expanding its horizons, if you will. Two different examples now of Facebook censoring. Well, one is Twitter and one is Facebook censoring things that really have nothing to do with Biden. Yesterday, Twitter locked Charlie Kirk, you might know him as a conservative journalist, they locked his account up because he reposted an article from The Hill, and The Hill was reporting that Pennsylvania has rejected 372,000 mail-in ballot applications. And so it's a sourced story from a reputable news agency, and Twitter locked his account unless he takes it down. Then just this morning, Facebook started putting a fact check label, a false on a LifeSite news story that talks about Kamala Harris trying to put David Dalyden and Sandra Merritt in jail for their expose of Planned Parenthood.
Look, what you got with Facebook and you and
Twitter,
you have human beings who are quote progressive, or they're very liberal, and that's all Facebook or Twitter hires, because people of like mind only hire people who think like they do in that kind of a setting, right?
Having lived there, I can also say that their employee pool, the people they're drawing from, are 90% liberal as well.
So they say, I don't like that story. I'm going to ban it. Yeah. I'm going to flag it because it goes against my political views.
Right.
And everybody's view here in the room with me.
Right.
So we control the platform. If these conservatives don't like it, you know what? Tough luck. Let them go start their own platform. But we're not letting this kind of hate or garbage or misinformation go out to the American, go out to the public. We're going to be the guardian of truth. So,
from our perspective.
Now, here's the thing. I don't want to get too boring with this, but you may have heard about this, folks. Facebook and Twitter have protection from the federal government from being held liable for what goes out over their platforms. It's some kind of rule that was developed 15...
Section 230, I think,
yeah,
is what
developed
it's
15 years ago.
Oh,
it's so?
More than that. It was...
20 years ago?
Yeah.
Okay, because they claimed... Did Twitter and Facebook, I don't even, Twitter existed that long ago, but anyway, that they are platforms. Okay, I know this, there is a platform is just, okay, anybody can say anything, we're just a platform, we don't get involved in censoring things, obviously, unless it's against the law.
And that's why they put Section 230 in, so that Facebook could... ban or censor pornography or terroristic threats and such.
Yeah, but everything else, political thought, stories, even the National Enquirer type stuff, you know, that's free speech, and we just let it go out there. People can make up their minds whether they believe it or not. Now, so that's a platform. Correct me if I'm wrong, Ed or Steve.
No, you're right.
A publisher is somebody who can be held liable for what's on their site or in their newspaper, based on whether it's accurate or truthful or not. You can be like Sandman. Nick Sandman went after CNN for slandering him, the kid from Covington Christian. And he won his case. Who knows how many millions of dollars CNN had to pay him.
Let's just say he's not going to be paying for college.
Right.
if Facebook and Twitter, for example, lose their platform standing and have to be called a publisher, then they could be liable. So there are potential great consequences to Twitter and Facebook for taking this approach of siding with the Biden and the Democrats so overtly.
Yeah, and so a good way of looking at this is not an exact comparison, but let's say you use Verizon. Verizon's your phone company. You can't sue Verizon for something I say in a phone call with somebody else, okay? So that's kind of the idea behind the platform, but you can sue the New York Times when they have an op-ed. Let's say I write an op-ed for the New York Times and slander someone. You can sue them because they published it. And they have editors, and they're responsible for what went in their newspaper.
So they have to be more careful about what it is that they do and allow for.
I think, ultimately, whatever Congress does or does not do, I think conservatives are going to have to leave Facebook and Twitter. I think that's the only way they're going to get treated fairly is to go to a conservative alternative. And then Twitter becomes like CNN versus Fox. Twitter becomes the left-leaning way of getting your thoughts out there instantaneously. And X or Y becomes the conservative. And that's a shame, but that's the mistake CNN made, allowing Fox to be created. Okay? So Facebook and Twitter will probably be responsible for having conservative alternatives develop because they would not do what they set out to do at the very beginning, which was everybody gets to say whatever they want as long as it's not illegal. And they'll lose market share because they chose sides. I think that's ultimately going to have to be the cure for this disease.
I wonder. They are so, so big. And right now, it seems to me that they are playing the short game and letting the chips fall where they may. As long as they can keep President Trump from the Oval Office in 2020, I think it's a fair price to pay. And nothing is going to stop them between now and then. 14 days.
I think that we're close enough. Tomorrow is 2 weeks out. I think they figure, because of what they said in 2016.
Right.
You know?
Right.
They said, well, we're not going to let this happen again. Well, now's their shot. I just don't think, I mean, how would Twitter get sued if, let's say, they are a publisher? How would they get sued for choosing sides? Maybe you could charge them with donations in kind. Isn't that what they call it?
That is what
to the
they
political
call it, yeah.
campaigns.
Yes, yes.
I mean that's. I think there are members of Congress who have asked the Federal Election Commission to check into what Facebook and Twitter are doing and saying they need to come under campaign finance.
Let me ask you this, Steve. You lived in California for a long time and have a better understanding probably of the Silicon Valley.
Work there, in fact.
Thinking now, these companies are international. They have employees from all over the world. They're not just all Valley girls. There, you know what I'm saying,
right?
But still, there is obviously a groupthink ideology that you have to work in that environment. Why is it almost exclusively quote progressives?
California is, and they're in the Bay Area, so San Francisco Bay Area, the Silicon Valley is south of San Francisco in the San Jose part of the state, and it is one of the most liberal places in America. And I kid you not, this is where they hire people, at least for the policy part of their operation. They may have other people that work elsewhere, but they are taking directions from Santa Clara. Or from the Silicon Valley, and it's a political business as well. They get donations from and they give to politicians. There's that whole.
Well, why aren't they 50-50 between Republicans and Democrats or conservatives and liberals? I don't understand why it's 99-1.
It would be like going into an evangelical church and asking why half the people don't support Joe Biden.
Okay.
It's just the
it's there. It's a religion.
The culture,
it's just the environment.
The
yeah.
culture there is so one-sided. It's you're a unicorn if you are conservative.
Well, and there's just no way to change that now. You see the kind of little mini rebellions every time Facebook or Jack Dorsey for Twitter says, "Well, we're not going to do this. We're not going to do that." And then you get these petitions from the employees saying, "No, we need to do this." You're not gonna unravel that.
I guess the part that I don't really get is with a skill set that you might have, surely there are conservatives who can do technology the same way liberals
can. Yeah, but you'd have to want to hire them. You'd have to look for them.
That's what I'm saying. It must be a test where if you apply for a job at one of these companies, they look on your thing and you say, raised in Mississippi.
Flag
that guy. You better ask him. You know, make sure you're getting a KKK guy. Right. You know what I'm saying?
I got hired at a Silicon Valley company, and I was a part-time evangelical pastor, music pastor. So, you know, you can't slip through. Not many of us.
There goes your pension.
I know, right?
Okay. Huh? Whatever it was. They're going to cancel that. You're canceled, Steve.
Shoot.
See you tomorrow, everybody.